So we're going to move into a time today where we're going to talk more about having a relationship with Jesus. And I've really wrestled with this series in my prayers because I know that the whole series is not based on scripture that you've never heard. The whole series is not based on sermons that you've never heard. In fact, this series really isn't based on anything that's groundbreaking in any way. The whole series is based on you hearing the scriptures fresh and new and different. The whole series is based on you interacting with Jesus in a way that you may understand in your head, but not yet in your heart. It's all about people actually having a relationship with Jesus. Not just knowing about having a relationship. Not just knowing about the scriptures that I'm going to share. Not just showing up for church and praying a prayer and reading your Bible. These are all elements of what I've been preaching. But none of them equal a relationship with Jesus. And you know something? This is very personal. I cannot look at a single person here today and say definitively that they have a relationship with Jesus. The only person that can know whether or not you have a real relationship with Jesus is you and the Lord God Almighty. Amen? That's why in every moment that I preach, whether it was the one where I talked about how God made the first move and we needed to receive Him and we needed to say, yes, we want a relationship. Or if it was the one I preached last week where, yeah, we talked about reading the Bible, but not just reading the Bible in a stale way, in a religious way, but reading the Bible, knowing that the Bible is communication from God to us. It's us getting to know Him in a real relationship. That's how we know God. Or today, we're going to talk about intimacy with God. We're going to talk about having a relationship with Jesus and how a real relationship has to have intimacy. Now, a lot of people are scared by this word, and I don't understand why we're scared by this word, because do you know what this word means? It simply means closeness. Now, closeness can take on a lot of forms. I can say that you can have intimacy with your husband or wife, and that's one thing. You also have intimacy with your children, intimacy with your best friends. You have intimacy with co-workers. There's all different types of intimacy because there's all different types of closeness. Intimacy simply means closeness. Now, in terms of a relationship, the one that we're having with Jesus, I think a marriage relationship is the closest comparison that we can make. And I'm going to show you that in the scriptures today, that that's not something that Pastor Shane cooked up, that is the Word of God, and that is the comparison to our relationship with Jesus. But I want to share a little bit with you about my wife and I. Closeness. Yes, I heard a couple of uh-ohs. No, these are all good, baby, I promise you. They're all good. They are. When you desire closeness to someone that you're in a relationship with, you want to share with that person. I can tell you that when my wife has a rough day at work, one of the things that she wants to do when she gets home after eating and taking a little bit of a break is she wants to take a walk with me. One of our favorite things is we go outside and we take a walk together. And we may just walk around the driveway. We may walk around the yard, but we take a walk. And as we walk, maybe the dogs are out playing. Maybe little Shane's running around with a stick trying to kill some fire ants or whatever. But she and I are talking. And as we walk, she knows that she has the freedom and the closeness to me to tell me anything that's on her mind. Any bad part of her day, any slight that she felt from a coworker, any inadequacy that she feels as a teacher or a human being, even if she feels that she's not connecting with people on a personal level, she knows she can come home and she can share with me on that level because there's a closeness there. When you're close to somebody, you want to share what's on your heart and what's on your mind. The same thing happens on Sundays. I don't know how many of you realize this. I've said it a few times, but I want to tell you again just so you understand that pastors on a Sunday, they have a different experience than everybody else has. Sunday for my family is not Sunday for your family. It's very, very different. And a lot of times my attitude and my spirit rises and falls and rises and falls, Billy, based on what happens here on a Sunday morning. So if I feel like the sermon went really well, then guess what else goes really well? Our afternoon, right? If I feel like it went really badly, or maybe some people didn't show up that I really wanted to see there, or maybe no one came to the altar, or I felt like people weren't interested, they were looking off into the sky, guess what? I come home on a Sunday afternoon, and guess what I do? I get to share with my wife how I feel. I get to ask her questions. Sometimes I don't always like the answers, but there's a closeness there. There's an intimacy in our relationship where we want to share our day. We want to share our feelings. We want to share what's going on in our lives. And in any relationship, this is true. For those of you that are thinking, well, this is too effeminate. I know guys sometimes think when I say the word intimacy that that's not a masculine thing. I'm telling you right now, intimacy is intimacy. Closeness is closeness. If you are close to anybody at any time, that is called intimacy. I mean, some of you guys get pretty close at the deer camp. You know, I know Danny played in a band before. How many times have you played with people and you've synced up so well in a band that you felt really close to them? Yeah, it was very intimate. Anytime you have relationships with anybody, there is a closeness. You can't separate that from a relationship. I can't have a relationship with my wife and not be close to my wife. I can say that I have a relationship with her and not be close to her, but guess what? It won't be a real one. It won't be felt between the two, and that relationship will suffer because it's not real, it's not close. So today I want to demonstrate to you that in any real relationship, there is going to be closeness. There is going to be intimacy. And if you are going to have a relationship with Jesus, there will be intimacy and there will be closeness, or there is not a real relationship. Now, this is stuff that should make you set up to the edge of your seat and pay attention. Because what I'm basically saying to you here right now is that you could be stuck in a religious cycle. You could be stuck in a way of thinking right now that leads you to believe you have a relationship in Jesus because you come to church. That's not a relationship. I come home to my wife every day. That doesn't mean that we have a relationship. You might think that you have a relationship with Jesus because you read your Bible. But just because you open up a book and read it doesn't mean you have a relationship. There are people in this world that know way more about the Bible than you and I know, with our knowledge put together, that don't have relationship with Jesus Christ. You may believe because you've heard it so many times. Your mom and daddy told you, your grandparents told you, they had relationships with Jesus. You feel like you just got ushered in. You feel like, well, since they had a good one, and my grandparents had a good one, and I've heard it my whole life, well, sure, I'm a Christian, yeah. Well, there is a great tragedy in that way of thinking. And the great tragedy is that you've been fooled into thinking that you have a relationship with Jesus when all you have is a head knowledge of Jesus. And all you have is a bunch of religious activity that make you feel good about being a Christian. But there's no closeness. There's no intimacy. At the end of your day, that bad day, that rough day, that day that you say, I don't ever want a day like that again, you don't want to go to Jesus. You just want to click on the TV. You just want to go to bed. You have no interest in having a conversation with Him, pouring your heart out. When your family is struggling, your first idea is not, I need to talk to Jesus. Your first idea is, I need to fix it. What can we do? What's going to happen? It's all falling apart. There's nothing that can be done. See, when you have closeness to Jesus, you want to share with Jesus. You want to be with Jesus. You want to talk to Jesus. There is no getting around it. And my simple question, and it's a real simple one today, ask yourself, do I have intimacy with Jesus? Do I have closeness to Jesus? Not did I show up to church. We could all raise our hands for that one today. Amen?
Amen.
Not do I read my Bible. Not do I even say a prayer. Because, y'all, my great-grandfather said the same prayer for supper every time we ever sat down to a table. That didn't mean he had closeness to Jesus. It meant that he memorized a prayer. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Memorize the prayer is not closeness to Jesus. I want to know, what do you think? Not what am I telling you to think, okay? Not what am I trying to get you to believe today. What do you think? Do I have a relationship with Jesus? Is there intimacy? Is there closeness? Can I tell? And if there's any question at all, I would just beg you to ask yourself, have you received that offer that Jesus has given? Have you even taken that first step today and said, yes, I want to be in a relationship with you, Jesus. I want to know you, Jesus. I want to be close to you, Jesus. Maybe that's where you have to start. But I promise you today, after we're done, that there's going to be no room for debate. A relationship with Jesus means closeness. And if you don't have that closeness, something is wrong. Either you need to know Jesus for the first time, or your relationship needs to take a big old step to the next level. Amen? Amen. Amen. So what I want to do is I want to jump right into our scriptures today. I want to take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 15 through 17. And I want to say in these scriptures that we are called to intimacy. You're going to see in the passages I'm going to share up front that a Christian person, someone who says they are in relationship with Jesus, we are called to closeness. You cannot be in a relationship with Jesus and refuse to be close to him. It doesn't work that way. And you're going to see in the language of the passages we're going to share that we discuss here up front that there really is no choice. If you want to be in a relationship, closeness is part of it. Listen closely to what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15 through 17. We studied this on Wednesday night, by the way, with our youth. Do you not know that your bodies are members of who, church? Christ. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that who is joined to a harlot is one body with who? With her. We're going to explain this in a minute. For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. You hear this read at every marriage ceremony that I've ever done that you've been a part of. The two shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is what? One spirit with him. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit joined with him. Now, a great theme in the Old Testament, if you've ever read the Old Testament, you'll know, God very often compared his people to adulterers. The whole book of Hosea is dedicated to a prophet that God asked or commanded to marry a prostitute. And when he married this prostitute, guess what she continued to do? To be a prostitute. She kept going back to other men over and over. And then Hosea would go get her. He would bring her back home. Then she would leave and cheat again. And he'd go get her and bring her home. She'd go leave and she'd cheat again. And this was God's way of saying, this is what you're doing to me. I have made you one flesh with me. I have made you one spirit with me. You are my people, my children. We coexist together in a relationship. And every time that you go off and you sin and you do your thing and you chase after your passion and your lust, you are choosing to commit adultery on me. That's what this passage is saying. Now, could you argue after hearing this passage and understanding what this means that God does not consider a relationship with you a serious, intimate thing? He requires closeness. Those who follow Jesus must be close to Jesus. You cannot say, I'm in a relationship with Jesus and not be in one spirit with him. If you are saying today, I'm following Jesus, but you are doing what you want to do, and you're sinning how you want to sin, and you're living how you want to live, you are not living in closeness with Jesus. That is not a relationship with Jesus. I'm not talking about falling into a temptation or making a mistake. I'm talking about a lifestyle. You either are in a relationship with Jesus or you are not. And this scripture by itself teaches us that he expects closeness. There will be closeness in a real relationship. I want you to take a look at Ephesians chapter 5, 30 through 32. Now, if you've ever been to weddings that I've done, you will also notice that I use Ephesians chapter 5. I do this in premarital counseling, and I do it within the service, because I really do believe the theme of the New Testament, when it talks about Christ in the church, it talks about a marriage. It talks about intimacy. It talks about the two becoming one. And when we hear marriage being taught, Rachel, it's always compared to the marriage of Christ and the church. It's never just about you and your husband or you and your wife, although that matters. It's always in the context of Christ and the church and that closeness. Listen to what it says in Ephesians chapter 5. For we are members of what? His body, of his flesh, and of his what? Bones. We are members of his body, his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And you might be saying, well, wait a minute. This is just talking about Adam and Eve and how Eve was created from Adam, and these are two married people, so she's bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and these two people are going to become one flesh because they're going to become physically intimate, they're going to have children, they're going to become one. And I would say yes, and I would say no. It means that, but it's something bigger. Look what he says in verse 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning what? Christ and the church. So when this lesson is taught, it's meant for husbands and wives to hear it. Amen. It's meant for us to understand that we are one flesh and that we are one together and that we're supposed to be close and intimate with our husbands or wives. But it's also taught to teach us that that intimacy is not just a fleshly thing. It's a spiritual thing with Jesus Christ. In fact, if you read the New Testament, you will find out that you and I are the church. And we are referred to as the bride of who? We're the bride of Christ. You can't get any more deep on the symbolism. This relationship requires closeness and intimacy in the same way that marriage requires closeness and intimacy to be healthy and to be good. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Now, I skipped a couple of verses just to share this with you. I could share so many more. Boy, could I bring out more verses. But I think this one captures it. It says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of what, church? The Holy Spirit. Who is where? In you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. In other words, you don't get to control your life anymore. When you accept Jesus as your Savior, and you begin a real relationship with Jesus, what this passage teaches us is that the Spirit of God descends upon you and it descends upon me and it lives inside of our bodies. Do you know in the Old Testament, the temple had a place in the very back. It was called the Holy of Holies. And who knows what's in that place? What was in that place? The Ark of the Covenant. How many of you know what the Ark of the Covenant was? Held the Ten Commandments. But what was it? It was the throne of God. The Hebrews believed that the Ark of the Covenant was in the Holy of Holies, and there were two cherubim that were on the sides that faced each other. You remember seeing depictions of this? Have you ever seen a picture of the Ark of the Covenant? And what it did was it made a seat, and that seat was called the Mercy Seat. And it was the seat of God Almighty. It was the Shekinah of God. When the high priest would go in, the idea that was in this Holy of Holies was the very presence of God. And the ark was his throne. It was his mercy seat. Even when the offerings were made for forgiveness, they sprinkled the blood of the Lamb on the mercy seat. This is where God is what they were saying. The temple, which was physical, was the dwelling place of God. Well, guess what, folks? There is no physical brick-and-mortar temple today. When Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected on the third day, all of that Old Testament law, that ceremonial stuff, it was all abolished. and it was fulfilled in Christ Jesus. We don't need a temple of brick and mortar anymore because we are the temple of God. We have the mercy seat living inside of us. We have been shown that mercy. That blood has been applied to us. The Shekinah of God is in us. How many of you know that we're supposed to be the light? We're supposed to reflect the light that lives in us. The Holy Spirit lives in the temple. And this scripture literally says, we are the temple. We are the body. We are the members of the body, and Christ is the head. There are so many scriptures I could share with you to prove to you in scripture that we are called to be intimate with Jesus. A relationship with God, a real one, cannot exist without this closeness. And the question today for all of us is, am I close to God in this way? Do I feel this closeness? Do I sense this closeness? Is this closeness real? Or is all the stuff that I'm doing just religious activity? And I can't answer that question for you this morning. But I hope that just by these few passages that I've shared, that it has been proven without a shadow of a doubt that a relationship with Jesus requires real closeness and real intimacy. You can't say I have a relationship with Jesus and not be the temple of the Holy Spirit. You can't say I have a relationship with Jesus and not be one spirit with him. He said it himself, and I believe it's true. Amen? Amen. Amen. So a big question you might be asking today is, how can I draw nearer to him? Now, I've already told you, if you know today, if you sense, I've never really had a relationship with Jesus. Never really said yes to him. I've done the religious stuff, but I've never actually asked him to forgive my sins. I've never actually asked him to live in me and for me to become his temple. I've never actually humbled myself before him in that way and started a relationship. That's where you need to start, okay? But if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I know that I've started that relationship. I know it. I remember the moment I started that relationship. I changed. I'm different. But I don't feel that closeness. Not like you're talking about. And I want to feel it. I desperately want to feel it. What can I do? What can I do today to draw nearer to God? And I got one word answer for you that I'm going to expand upon over the next few minutes. And it's another one of those words that you've heard 1,000 times. It's another one of those words. You're going to hear it and you're going to go, well, that's religion. And it certainly can be. You're going to hear the word and you're going to say, I've tried that and it doesn't work. I'm saying you hadn't tried right. You hadn't done it with the right heart. You hadn't done it with the right spirit. You hadn't done it with the right mind. Because I guarantee you, if you do it right, it works. And that one word answer is pray. That one word answer is pray. If you want closeness with God, now, we've already said yes to his advances. We've already gotten to know him through the scriptures. Say, God, I want to know all about you, who you are, what you expect out of this relationship. That's the word. But now I want to be close to you. I want to know you in a way I've never known you before. I want to be intimate. I want to draw near. The one word answer is pray. And what I want to do for you today is I want to share some passages with you. And this is not even close to exhaustive. There's no way I could share with you an exhaustive list of how Jesus prayed or how people in the Bible prayed. Miss Gloria, there's too many verses, too many angles, and too many ways which I could preach. I could do a whole year of sermons and lessons on prayer if I so chose to do it. People have written volumes of books about it. The Bible's full of prayers. What I'm going to do is I'm going to share a little bit about prayer that's going to demonstrate the closeness involved in these prayers. It's going to show you that when you are praying to God the right way, there is an intimacy there. And if you're here today and you're not praying, I promise there's no intimacy in your relationship. There is no possible way for you to have closeness to God and never talk to him. I'm sorry. If that hurts your feelings, it's supposed to. It's supposed to rile you up. It's supposed to make you think, well, this pastor's crazy. Read the Bible and tell me I'm crazy. Get to know God and tell me I'm crazy when I tell you if you don't pray, you probably don't have closeness to God and you might not even have a relationship with him. As we read these passages today, see what Jesus did and what's said about prayer in the scripture and tell me that prayer is not a gateway to intimacy with God. I dare you to do it. So what we're going to do is we're going to dive in today, and I'm hoping that you're going to see prayer in a whole new way. In fact, I'm going to tell you right now before I read these scriptures. Last night I prayed for you guys. I didn't know who all was going to be here today, but I was up. It was about 11 o'clock at night. My whole family was in bed. My wife was asleep on the couch, and I had most of the lights out, and I was walking through my house, and I was just praying. And the one prayer that came to me, and I just prayed it so passionately for all of you and all of us today, is that everyone here would want to talk to Jesus the way I was talking to him last night. That everyone here today would want that closeness and that intimacy. To say at 11 o'clock at night when they're sleepy and they're worn out and they've had a rough day and they got a busy day the next day, the only thing I want to do right now is talk to the Lord. That was my hope. And not just not some memorized thing that you've done 1,000 times, but a real conversation that goes somewhere. Not small talk. Right? The real deep conversation. Let's take a look at what Jesus did here. In Luke chapter 5, verse 16, I've shared this before in many sermons, and I'm going to share it again if you stay at the church any length of time. It's one of my favorite scriptures. And what you may not realize about this is that this same action that Jesus is taking here is repeated at least 7 or 8 times in the New Testament that I've recorded. Could be more. But just for my studies for this message, I counted at least 7 times that Jesus did this sort of thing, which means this was common for him because the Bible is not an exhaustive description of Jesus' life, is it? There were things that Jesus did that aren't recorded in the Bible. Amen? Which means they only included the most important stuff that we needed to know. All scripture is God-breathed and useful. And that means if this is recorded in the Bible 6, 7, 8 times in the New Testament, when all kinds of other stuff wasn't, you better believe it was important and we need to learn it and pay attention to it. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Now I told you just last week that Jesus was incarnate God in the flesh, did I not? But he exists in a Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Bible very clearly teaches that God is three persons. And that as Jesus walked in the flesh and was God in the flesh, guess what else he still did, Mr. May? He still prayed to the Father. Now, I don't know how that makes sense, Jamie. I have no clue how that makes sense. But Jesus Christ, who was God in the flesh, still prayed to God the Father while he was walking on this earth. Now, if Jesus Christ, who was God in the flesh, needed prayer and needed closeness to the Father, how much more so do we need closeness to the Father? How much more so do we need this prayer and we need this time? And it says he often withdrew to the wilderness and prayed. Some translations say lonely places and prayed. How many of you have a daily or even a weekly practice of withdrawing to a lonely place and talking to God? Not the memorized prayer, not the religious stuff, but you're saying, I got to have time. Like, I got to have time with my wife in the afternoon to walk in the yard. Or I got to have time when we get out on Sunday to talk to her about how service went and how I'm feeling. That's our relationship. That's our closeness. That's our time together. How many of us here today often withdraw and have intimate, close, personal, uninterrupted time talking to God? And if you don't have it, don't feel so guilty. I guarantee you, if people are honest, most people would say, I don't do this. I don't take any time of quiet and peace and separate myself from work and life and family to talk to God. But that doesn't mean you can't do it. That doesn't mean this isn't possible. It's one of the easiest things you can do. You can do it in the morning, wake up 10 minutes early. You can do it in the evening, stay up a little later than everybody else. You can do it at work on your break. You can do it in the car when you're driving home. 10 minutes, 15 minutes, they add up. Sometimes I have my time in the car on the way to the gym and on the way back to the gym. That's a half hour of prayer. And it's good prayer, and it's private prayer, and there's no one interrupting me. If you want to be close to God, you need to talk to Him. You need to pray, and you need to do what Jesus did. You need to find a quiet place and withdraw to it and talk to the God that you say that you have a relationship with. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. Check this one out. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. This is right before Jesus is taken. This is right before Jesus is about to be ridiculed, spit on, beaten, punched, persecuted, and then killed on the cross. This is right before that. And Jesus knows it's coming. He understands what He has to do. He understands why it has to be done. And listen, y'all, I want you to expand your mind for a minute and understand that He knows more than just, they're going to beat me. He knows more than just, I'm going to hang on the cross. He knows that at some moment, while He's hanging on that cross, He is going to have to bear every sin for every human being that's ever lived and ever will live in one single moment. It'll all be on Him. Because when He dies, it's got to die with Him. Amen? That's theology 101. That sin's got to die with Jesus, which means Jesus has to take all that sin on His back and put it to death on that tree. And He knows that's coming. And if you think you know what that feels like, you're better than me, because I have no idea what that feels like. To bear the burden of sin for the entire world, for all history, on my back in a single moment. Whew. And He knew it was coming. And this was His prayer. He needed in that moment to go to a quiet place, and He needed to go to God. This is Jesus Christ Himself. He went a little further and fell on His face. And He prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will." I want you to notice what He says here. This is Jesus going to His Father and saying, "I don't want to do this. This is going to be hard. I'm not looking forward to it. This is going to hurt. It's going to hurt physically. It's going to hurt emotionally. It's going to hurt spiritually. This is going to be painful." And because He had closeness with the Father, He didn't go to anybody else and say this, did He? He wanted to go to God in prayer. He wanted to say this to God because He was in relationship with the Father. And He brought His prayer in the most difficult time of His life, the most difficult season. His response was, "I'm going to go alone, get out here by myself." He brought people with Him, but He told you, "Wait over here. I want you to wait over here for me." He wanted to be by Himself, and He prayed that prayer. When's the last time you got by yourself and you fell down on the ground, put your face on the floor, and you prayed? Some of you are saying, "Man, I can't even get down on the floor anymore, Pastor." It's an attitude of your spirit. This is not some religious practice of bowing down or getting on a prayer rug, right? That's not what this is. This is an attitude of your spirit. When is the last time you have humbled yourself and put your face on the floor and said, "God, I need You. I can't do this without You. I don't want to do it, but I'm going to do what You want me to do." He needed that closeness to the Father, and this is how He responded to it. Would you take a look at John chapter 17? We're going to move through these. John chapter 17. Now, I broke this up a little bit. This is not all in order. You notice I've got 17:1, then 9, then 20 through 21. I put them all together because if you read this, and I challenge you to go home and read it, this is Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17. He prays for three different categories of people here. He wanted this closeness to the Father, and this is how He found it in conversation. He prayed for Himself. If you want to know how to pray, He prayed for Himself, He prayed for His disciples, and then He prayed for all the people that were one day going to be disciples, right? And they're in categories, and I listed them here. This is the first part of His prayer. "Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son may also glorify You." That was His prayer. "God, help me help You. Help me make You look good. Help me lift You up. I want everything that I'm about to do to bring people to You." That was His prayer. "I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom You have given Me, for they are Yours." That's Him praying for His disciples, the people that were closest to Him. Now, He lifted them up in a lot of ways. I want you to read it, but I want you to know this is how He got close to the Father. In verse 20, He said, "I do not pray for these alone, But I also pray for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be what? One, as you, Father, are in me. Pay close attention to the language here. And I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. His prayer literally was a prayer for intimacy, a prayer for closeness. He said, God, I want to glorify you. God, I want you to take care of my disciples and those closest to me. But for all those who I don't know yet, all those who haven't come to you yet, I pray that they would have the same level of closeness to you that I feel right now. Amen, church? That was his prayer. In John 17, he wanted us to have that kind of closeness, and he prayed for it. So any of you that say, I don't know what to pray about, you got plenty to pray about. Pray that you would glorify God with your life, that he'd be lifted up in your life, and think about all the ways that that can happen. Pray for those that are closest to you, your brothers and sisters in Christ's church. You can list every person here and pray a specific prayer for them, and it would take you a long time to pray that prayer. Amen? I know, because I just try two or three of you every evening, and that's rough, right? Half hour, 45 minutes I can spend just praying for one family. It's possible. And then pray for intimacy. Pray for closeness. If you're feeling it, pray for someone who doesn't have it. Pray for someone who needs it. That's what Jesus was doing here. And boy, could I share more with you. I don't have the time today. But there's a lot of ways to pray and draw near to God and be close to God. Are you trying any of them? Are you doing any of them? I encourage you to start today. Last verse, Romans chapter 8, 26 through 27. This verse ought to get you through a lot of heartache, folks, right here. Ought to get you through a lot of heartache, a lot of difficult times. I have people tell me all the time in response to prayer, I don't know how to pray. I'm hurt. I'm broken. I feel distant from God. I feel separate from God right now. I have people tell me all the time that they just don't feel like they can connect with God. Well, number one, I would want to argue with you a little bit about that, because sometimes we feel distant, but that doesn't mean the relationship is severed or broken. It just means we're not seeking His face like we ought to. We're getting tied up in our own problems, the problems of the world, and you know what? Those thorns are choking it off. He's trying to grow and He's trying to bear fruit, and we're letting everything else choke it off. You got to fight back. But I will tell you, in this situation, there are going to be times where it's hard for you to know exactly how to pray. You don't really know how to word it. You don't know how to share it. Maybe you're praying for somebody and you don't even really know what's wrong in their life. But because you have an intimate relationship with Jesus, you got to take it to Him. You got to talk to your Father. Listen to what Romans 8 says about intimacy and how we interact with the Spirit in prayer. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That means you can't even say them. You can't even pray like this. This is the Holy Spirit praying for you. Now, He who searches the hearts, if you're intimate with Him, He's got access to your what? Your heart. He searches the heart. He knows the mind. If you're intimate with Him and you're close to Him, He's got access to your heart. He's got access to your mind. He knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, I'm just going to go back to my initial question. Do you feel close to God? Do you have an intimate relationship with Jesus? You know that you're supposed to. Three passages, Billy, proved it without a doubt. You're supposed to. And one of the ways that we draw near to God and we get closer to God is through a real prayer life, where we talk like a husband and wife would at the end of the day. That's a different kind of conversation than a memorized religious prayer. Are you praying that way? If not, why not? It's not a condemnation, it's a question. Why aren't you praying this way? If you want a relationship with Jesus, you need to pray and talk to Him. Amen? Amen. I'm going to ask Jamie to come up. He's going to share this last song today. And you know, the neat thing about a message like this is that you literally have your very first opportunity to have a real conversation with God right now. I mean, no more memorized stuff, none of this, I pray the same prayer at the end of every message on Sunday kind of stuff, you know. What did this word of God speak into your heart today? What is Jesus trying to do in you today? What is the Spirit prompting you to say? What's on your heart? What's on your mind? What do you need to talk to God about right now? He wants that closeness and that relationship with you. Don't waste this opportunity by treating it like the end of another religious service.